visit, when they visit, for an average of about 15 minutes. I think one of the things that's quite important about this is that it is specifically focused as part of our programme. It's not just a social network. It is seen as being something that enables young people to develop their dialogue skills. It's part of the classroom materials that we've written to support teachers to prepare for dialogue. It's something we refer to both before, during and after a VC. So we kind of see it as very much embedded and integrated with the kind of things that we're doing. It's also a centre for competitions and things like that. We've just had a blog competition that we're in the process of judging, and the winners of whom are going to be published on Huffington Post, which is quite good. Increasingly, it's being a valuable resource for teachers. It's always been a community for teachers to use, but as you'll see in a moment, one of the things we're really trying to do is push a lot of our initial training and our teacher support onto this online community, yet at the same time enabling it to remain effective, impactful, and really, really helpful, so that teachers are able to engage with the material and say, yeah, that's great, I want to do it. There are, however, of course, some challenges in working with an online community. And the biggest challenge is getting the students in it. And there are various barriers to that, often at schools. Schools just go, oh no, you can't do that. Sometimes it's teachers not feeling comfortable. And again, we have a range of resources to support that. I think probably our biggest challenge is the one on the screen, is the school to interpret the need to protect students from the bad things on the internet by protecting them from the internet. Because those are kind of different categories. And we want to encourage young people and their teachers to be good, proficient, safe users of the internet. But of course you can't do that unless you're actually on it. So we address these challenges by our own site security and by making clear to users what that means. Okay, what it means to be on a site that only a certain number of people can access, it's password protected, it has a great deal of moderation, both automatic and human, and indeed we encourage and reiterate this idea of good practice, of reporting things that make me feel uncomfortable, which is, let's face it, something that is kind of anathema to many codes of, students' social codes in their classrooms around the world. If your mate does something bad, you don't dorm in. Yeah? Whereas what we're trying to say is, well, actually on the internet, that's exactly what you do. You do dorm in. If something makes you feel uncomfortable, you tell someone about it. We're also very proactive about making sure we have a lot of support for teachers, both in terms of things they can go and look at, like videos, and guidebooks, but also a help desk that they can always contact. Again, another challenge is the fact of, in different countries and different cultures, people have different attitudes to students using the net. Some places are very, very uptight about it and are really wrapped up and have lots and lots of rules and regulations. In other countries, it is entirely normal, if not expected, for a teacher to be friendly with all of their students on Facebook, which would make some people throw their hands in disbelief. So what we have to do is help everyone understand why we say what we say, why we are being safe, why we think it's an important thing to do, and at the same time, make sure the students are having a good time, they're enjoying it, and they're getting a lot out of it, that it's an effective community delivering and demonstrating the kind of support and dialogue that we want. But of course, technology is only half the story. Technology on its own won't empower meaningful dialogue, we just won't produce it. So there has to be a pedagogy that supports it, and it's got to be a reproducible pedagogy. It's got to be one that works in your classroom no matter where you are in the world. And one of the things that we encourage people to do is their own adaption. We make our resources so they're easy to adapt, they're easy to change. But on the whole, I think we found that the vast majority of people don't do that. So, just to give you an idea of how we might approach developing some of these skills. Around the world, this whole business, a lot of people today have talked about the whole business of transferable skills and preparing people for jobs that don't exist yet and